morning, New Life. How are we? Good. It is so good to be here. My name is Jared Moyne. I've had the privilege of being on staff for just about 5 years. I'm the life development pastor, and I get to help out our adult ministries and be a part of community and small groups, and absolutely love the privilege that I get to be here. Some of you might be wondering, wow, that guy looks a lot like David. Well, I've been here for 5 years, which is longer than him, so I think he looks like me. And some of you might go, oh, I think I may have talked to the wrong person out of the patio. Yes, that happens all the time. I take credit for his messages. There's probably a few of you in here who have probably come up to me and said, hey, I love what you had to say today. And I love what you have to say today. So I take credit for him all the time. It's great. Pastor David's actually not here. He is down in LA currently right now with a team of New Lifers. I think we have a picture. They're part of Team World Vision, and they're running half. That's right. So currently right now, they are running half of the LA Marathon, running, jogging, walking, whatever they want to do, and they are raising money for clean water. That $55 is what goes towards providing clean water, drinking water for life. So many of you, you follow them, some of the runners, David on social media. There's a few of them that I know, they were one donation away from their goal. So you still can contribute, whether you find them on Facebook, whatever that would be, but you can be praying for them. This week, I'm honored that we get to continue in this series. That last week, we started off this new series looking at how we practically live out our faith and practice the way of Jesus. That looking at the way Jesus lived his life and asking ourselves, how can we find a new spiritual rhythm for our own lives? Last week, Pastor David launched into this first practice of what it means to hunger and thirst for God. That practicing the way of Jesus starts right here. That hungering and thirsting for God is where it all starts. That we got challenged on how we are supposed to seek God and abide in God's love. This week, I'm excited that we get to jump into the second practice, which is living life in community. That this is the second spiritual practice that we're going to jump into. But before we jump into that, I would like to pray. I'd like to pray for Team World Vision and just for us as we jump into God's Word. So if you would you bow your heads? Let's pray. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you, God, that you had this idea of community. That God, you had this idea of church and being a spiritual family. God, we are so thankful that you have given us the ability to be a light in this world. God, we pray for this team of New Lifers that are down, struggling, running, walking, continuing to keep up a pace. God, we are so thankful for the journey they have been on to this point. God, we pray that you would encourage them, that God, you would empower them, and God, you would strengthen them. God, we thank you for the financial efforts they have raised to help provide hope in this world, to provide clean water for people who don't have it. God, I ask that you would speak through me this morning, that these words would not be my words, they would be your words. God, we thank you for your love letter that you've given to us through the Bible. God, we pray that you would continue to show us how much you desire for us to live in community. God, I pray that you would just bless this time this morning. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. So as we jump into this idea of living in community, the opposite of community is isolation. Like the opposite of community is isolation. And we were never built to do life alone. That was never how we were supposed to live. That we were built to have a relationship. That, yes, you have a personal relationship with God, and yet that you are built to be in community. If this is your first time here, if you're just checking this whole God thing out, this is your first week here at New Life, I want you to hear something. I want you to hear, we're so glad you're here. We're so glad you're checking this out. I hope you walk away knowing that there's a God of the universe who loves you and wants a spiritual family for you. And that we hope this could be a place that you feel like you can belong even before you believe. That this is a place where you can come and learn what it means to belong to a family. Because that's what community is. Living in community, it's family. It's belonging to a family. That's what it looks like. Now, fair warning, I'm a bit of an extrovert. Those of you who know me, I like people. I have a loud voice. I have never once been told, hey, could you say that a little louder? Never happened. All in school, even though I had bad eyes, they would sit me in the back of the room and it was because I was too loud. I've been blessed with a soccer coach's voice since I was little. It works great. On a soccer field, not so good in a movie theater. Not so good. My wife, when we first started dating, she used to hear my voice across the room or in other places, and she started to think that's because she loved me. And then other people had like, no, honey, he's just loud. He's just really loud. So I'm an extrovert. That's who I am. That's how God has made me. So fair warning, you're going to learn about community from an extrovert, all right? So those of you who might be a little bit more introverted, just buckle up. It'll be fine. It'll be totally fine, all right? So here's this idea of community. When we start here, we start with the why. Why do we need community? Because I think we can argue with ourselves. Maybe I'm the only one who talks to myself. But we can argue with ourselves sometimes of how, not so much that we don't need God, but that we can argue with ourselves that like, I like God, I don't know if I like people. You know, like I got a relationship with God, that's good. I don't know if I need other people. I love God, I've got my Bible. I don't know if I need anything else. That can be what we admit to right now. That could be where we start. But when we get into this, why do we need community? We need community because I would say, first of all, there's two reasons. But first, I would say it's because you're built for it. We are built for community. It's hardwired into our DNA that we are built for community, that God made you for community. We're going to jump into God's word. We're going to jump all the way back to Genesis, all the way back to the very beginning. In Genesis chapter 1, we get the creation story. That is, Travis just kind of talked through a little bit of Moses. Moses was the first one to write down the first five books of the Bible. That God, to the Israelites, he gave them the creation story. That it was theirs to know who God was and where they came from. We are built for community. Why? Because when we go all the way back to Genesis, we see a God who is making the entire universe. We see a great big God who's making stars. He's creating light out of darkness. He's creating the waters. He's creating everything. We see a giant God who's making everything. And yet, this God is a commune God. What that means is this is a God who's in community with himself. That as we study the scriptures, we see that there's one God. And yet that one God has three parts. There's a God the Father. There's a God the Son, which we come to know as Jesus Christ. And there's a God the Spirit. That there's all three, that God is in relationship even with himself. And this is this God of community, this commune God who made you, who makes us, who made the first man and woman. What we see in Genesis chapter 1, it's up here on the screen if you want to follow along. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image, to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and the livestock and all the wild animals on the earth and the small animals that scurry along the ground." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. So there's a God who's talking to himself saying, let's make a creation in our image. You're built for community because that's what God put inside you. Genesis 1 is a beautiful picture of a great big God. But what I love is that God gives us two creation stories. There's Genesis 1, then in Genesis 2, we don't get this God of the universe. In Genesis 2, we see a God who's playing in the dirt. We see a God who's taking dust and he's forming things. That it says there's a God who he is making every creature. He's forming them out of dust. He's having fun with it. He's creating camel, donkey. I don't know why he made donkeys, but donkeys, right? Weird ones, like chinchilla. Here you go. I don't know why the world needed that, but here we go. God's making all these things. Then in Genesis 2 is where we see God comes to this idea of making this special creature. And here's what he does. In Genesis chapter 2, it says, "Then the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He breathed the breath of life into the man's nostrils, and that man became a living person." See, no other creation. God forms, he just makes the animals. But when it comes to you, when it comes to me, God breathes this breath of life. That's him putting his spirit inside of us. We could describe this as we are a soul. We have a part of us that's God. We have a part of us that's built to live eternally, you have a part of you that is placed there by a God who's in community. We were built for community. You were built to have a relationship with God and a relationship with each other. It's hardwired in our DNA that that's how we were built. And yet, when we go through life and we don't start with a relationship with God, when we go through life and we don't get that community, it's kind of like being a power tool that doesn't quite work. Many of you men in here, you're men, you fall into very manly stereotypes, some of you. I know for me, I do on a few of them. When it comes to sports, I love sports. I love watching sports. I fully fall into the male stereotype that there isn't a sport I haven't liked to watch. Cornhole is on ESPN3. I will watch it. Bowling, sometimes in the dead of winter, is on, and it's like, this looks interesting, right? I'll drive my wife crazy because I'll watch SportsCenter, and then like it'll come on again, and I'll watch again. I'll watch three episodes. It's the same highlights. No one's winning or losing, or the scores are changing, but I'll just watch it because it's on. It's something that I love. I love sports. When it comes to some other things that are male stereotypes, I don't have my man card. I have never fixed or touched anything on my car. I put gas in it. That's about all I know. I've never given my car a name because that's only when you do, you've actually like fixed something. As Noah talked about a couple weeks ago, that he actually like changed the oil once. Nope, never tried that. Never needed to do that. When it comes to like building things and fixing things, duct tape is about where I'm at. But I do have a father-in-law, and he is a surfer, he's a golfer, and he can fix and build anything. And so a couple years ago, I started adding to my Christmas list power tools. Every year I'd put power tools. I wouldn't list it because I didn't know which ones were which, but I would just put on their power tools. I didn't so much want power tools as much as I wanted to earn his love. I'll just be honest. But I started gaining some power tools. In fact, I have two of them up here. I think I might even know their names. But I have this drill thingy, whatever. I've got this. I think it's called a Sawzall. Someone yelled out last night, it looks brand new. It is. I've got this thing, and it's a drill, and it's even got a handle, so it must be serious, right? Now, I'll be honest. I have put together some IKEA furniture with this. It probably just needed an Allen wrench, but this got the job done, right? And I have even taken down a small shrub in my backyard with this. I'm gonna call it a bush. It was a bush, but I totally hacked it to the ground. Now here's the deal. Like a power tool that's awesome and can take down a shrub, I've got a confession to make. These things have like a rechargeable power thing. About 9 months ago, my charger broke. Like stopped working, plugged it in, kept trying, stopped working. Both of these are dead. Here's the point. When this isn't plugged in, when it doesn't have any power, it's a stubby saw. I still could use it, but it's a stubby saw. This is a very awkward screwdriver, right? I was contemplating you have to turn to your neighbor and say you're an awkward screwdriver, but that's just weird. It's fine. We're in flu season. We're not going to do that. But here's the deal. With these tools, when they're fully plugged in, when they're connected to their power source, they're fantastic. When they're not, they're just awkward. They don't really help. And that's the same idea that comes living in community, that you are built for community, that you are built to be connected. And when we don't do that, we miss the entire point. You are hardwired to be built for community. The second reason why we need community in our life is because we become fully alive in community. That when you live in community, when you have a spiritual family, when you have people who know you in your life, when you have connected with God and you've connected with other people, you become fully alive. The best picture of this is the early church, the disciples, the followers of Jesus. They became fully alive. They went all the way back to like how that relationship first was when God first made man and woman, and they had connection with God. We see this in Acts chapter 2. We see that all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the sharing of meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. and a deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple every day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and they shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day, this is important, each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. This is what community looks like, coming together, being a part of that. When we are together, the Lord adds to our number. The reality is, in isolation, we starve. In isolation, we wither. We stunt and we diminish. Yet in community, we grow. In community, you learn. In community, you improve. In community, you find your giftedness. And it's in community that we spur one another along. That's how we're supposed to live life, is in community, in a circle, in a group. That when we do that, we become fully alive and we spur each other along. But the reality is, community is hard. It is. I'll be the first one to admit, community is hard. I have a couple reasons, there probably is like 40 of them, but I picked just three as to why community is hard. It's obviously hard, because if it wasn't, we'd all be experts at it. And yet we're not. In different seasons of life, with any little change that takes place in our life, we can often find out exactly how hard community is. But what are the things that make it really hard? I think the first thing that makes community really hard is that we are still sinners. You are a sinner. I'm a sinner. What that means is that we miss the mark that God is perfect and we are not. That we are sinners. And when we sin, we offend. When we sin, we let people down. When we sin, we create problems. It's very clear. In Romans 3:23, the Apostle Paul writes, "For everyone has sinned and we all fall short of God's glorious standard." So when we sin, we offend. We ruin relationships. You know what's the biggest deconstructor of community? It's conflict. When we have conflict, it can deconstruct community. And when we don't deal with that conflict, it continues to become something that doesn't breathe life into us. It doesn't give us new life. And so why is community hard? First, it's because we sin. The second reason I would say community is hard is because we settle. We settle in our lives. We settle with our friendships. We settle with relationships, especially in this new age, in this technical age, in this social media, iPhone, me first generation. We settle in our relationships. The reality is, this year, 2020, there are 7 billion people in the world. We're more connected and can be updated on anything, any person, anywhere. We are more connected than we ever have been. Our globe has shrunk. And yet, even with those connections, we can feel isolated and alone. We can be connected and yet lonely. We can be updated and yet miserable. We can know more of what's going on and yet feel alone. And I think it's because we settle for updates instead of community. Within our own lives, and especially social media, whatever year you graduated high school, you can keep in touch with those. You can know everything that's going on with your class of 1979. But it doesn't mean you've made any investments. We settle for updates instead of investments into relationships. And I think that's what contributes to we feel connected. And yet, the reality is we just have a bunch of updates. We know some things, but we're not doing life together. And that can make relationships, that can make community really hard. And I think the third thing we do that makes community really hard is that we make excuses. In our own life, we make excuses. We start to make excuses because we live in this bare minimum society. that we're interested in just doing the bare minimum. What's the bare minimum that I have to do? What's the bare minimum I need to put into a relationship? We have a quick results society. We don't want to do the work. We want a pill, right? And that's not a new concept. We settle for bare minimum. I think one of the greatest examples, and it's existed for decades, for generations, and I wanted to give you a frozen example of what relationship, what community, an imitation of community. The TV dinner. These things still exist. I don't know why. Congress banned these. I don't know, like, maybe you inherited the fortune of Swanson or something like that, and so I'm gonna offend you with this analogy. I'm sorry, but you can write me a check. But we have these things, these TV dinners. They still make a kid's version. There's a wonderful SpongeBob. There you go. It's still got the dividing little trays where you get, again, I'll start to sound like an infomercial here, right? Why painstakingly make a four-course meal when you can 3 minutes and 30 seconds yourself to a delicious meal, right? No. Would you ever choose one of these over a real meal? No. No. But oftentimes, this is what we do. This is a frozen example of an imitation. And yet, that's what we settle into. That's what we make excuses in our life. We make excuses as to why we don't necessarily need relationships. We don't necessarily need community. Some of us, maybe it's not so much excuses, but it has to do with maybe our mindset towards church. That we start to view church and community, whether it's a weekend worship service, small group, we start to make excuses in that, like, I don't really need to go. Well, when I go there, no one even talks to me. No one will even notice if I'm not there for a couple weeks. When I'm not there, no one notices. And we start to make these excuses, and then we start to have this mindset. We start to view church and maybe coming to church as a filler up. We start to view church like a big gulp. You know, this is a mindset, and it's not entirely wrong, but our view, and maybe this is some of you, your view of church is, I'm gonna pop in there. We view church the same way we view 7-Eleven and AM, PM. I'm just gonna pop in there, I'm gonna get my big gulp of Jesus, and I'll be good for a week. Shoot, it's a big gulp. I'll be good for a month, right? But this is our idea of community. It's just about attendance. It's just about being here. It's just about, I'm gonna come in, I'm gonna get my filler up, and I'll be good. Whether it's a big gulp mentality, or maybe it's a car wash. We view church as a car wash for our soul. We view church attendance the same way we wash our cars. Once a week, once a month, twice a year. We start to view it as, I'm just gonna come in there and I'm gonna feel clean. And that's a part of coming to church. Getting filled up is a part of coming to church. Feeling like you can confess your sins and connect with God is a part of church. But there's so much more. There's so much more of living in community that God wants for each and every one of us, that God wants for you. I want you to hear something. If you don't get anything else today, there's one thing I clearly want you to hear, whether you've checked out in the last 10 minutes or so, it's this. Attending church is not the way of Jesus. It's not. Attending church is not the way of Jesus. Pastor David said something 3 times last week that it stuck with me. He said this, don't connect with the practice. Instead, let the practice lead you deeper into a relationship with God. Don't connect with the practice. Instead, let the practice lead you deeper into a relationship with God. You can say it this way. Don't worship the practice, but worship God and let that practice grow you to becoming more like Christ. That's what this practice of living in community. We don't need a filler up. It's a part of it. You should leave church feeling filled up. But that's just a part of it. It's not about attendance. It's about belonging. That when it comes to being a part of the community, it's not about attendance. It's about belonging. That's where life change is. That's where when God gets a hold of your life, it's not about checking boxes. It's not about, okay, well, I was there 38 weeks of the year. I must be on the better side than the bad side. It's not about attendance. It's about belonging. Which leads me into this kind of action steps. How I want to close today is this. If you truly want to start a new practice, if you wanted to start a new practice in your life, if you wanted to change your life in any way, it's often said the best way to do that is to start to think of the end. To honestly start to fast forward the end of your life. Who do you want to be? What do you want to have accomplished? What people do you want to have in your life? What type of person, what character do you want to have at the end? Start there and then work your way back. What changes do you need to make in your life now so that you can be that person? Whether you're 99 years old or 6 days before you're 65, that at the end of your life, what type of person do you want to be? I know with some of you in here, I've shared in my own life, I've shared the story of my own dad. My own dad, he passed away in 2013. And it was very sudden. He was a few days away from being 65. Incredibly healthy person, and he had a stroke, what the doctors described to us as a bleeding stroke. He went to work on a Wednesday, had a headache, passed out at work. EMTs attended to him, rushed him to the hospital. At the time, me, my wife, and our six-month-old son at the time, we were living in Virginia. I was a youth pastor. Within that night, phone calls, we were on a plane, 4 a.m. out of Baltimore. We were back in Orange County by noon of the next day. And that week, if I had to describe it, it sucked. It was a terrible week. It was horrible. It was the worst case scenario. The worst possible phone call, worst case scenario. Yet when I look back upon that week and I look back at that relationship, it was sweet. There was something sweet about it. And I think it comes back to the fact that my parents, when I was 2 years old, they started attending a church. They joined a new church plant that was in year 2 or 3, had a couple hundred people. When I went into ministry, I started asking my dad questions about the early 80s when he started jumping in. He's like, I don't quite remember it. I don't think we went to Christmas, but by Easter, I was ushering. See, this church, it met in a small theater at a high school, and at Easter, they were gonna meet in the gym, and they had to set up chairs, and they needed ushers. My dad ushered for 30 years. For 30 years, he was an usher. My mom did children's ministry, still does to this day. But see, my parents didn't attend church. My dad didn't attend church. He belonged. That as he passed away, as he was in a coma, that hospital room, that hospital floor, it was completely different. There was nurses who kept coming up to my mom and to me and my brother and sister and were like, you guys are different. We've given up on enforcing rules. Like, you guys visiting hours, they're gone. You've totally taken over that common room. And it was a revolving door of a who's who of the church my dad had served at. That there was people there all the time. And there was hope. There was some nurses came and were like, you guys are operating differently. There's a guy, he's 3 rooms over. He's been here for 7 days and no one's visited him. And yet, we can't keep people out of your room. And it's a testament, not that my dad was amazing, it was that he was a contributor. He didn't attend church, he belonged to a church. That even as he passed away, and we celebrated his life a couple days later, and 300 people came to his memorial. My dad was a chemical and process engineer. He worked with a ton of people that weren't Christians. A lot of them weren't born in the United States, but they all came. There was a handful who accepted Christ at his memorial. There was a gospel that was preached. Even in my own dad's death, he passed away. He was incredibly healthy. We actually did organ donation stuff. Turned out his surgery that was scheduled as they went to give organ donations, it took place on his 65th birthday. That on his 65th birthday, he donated 2 lungs, a liver, and countless other things that went on to life. But my dad's legacy is not that he was an organ donor. It was the legacy that's in me, that I learned what it meant to be a contributor. That church isn't about attendance. It's about belonging. I watch as the church in that time of need with my mom and my family, the church was the church. And it was because my parents got it. They didn't just attend. They didn't sit in rows. They belonged to groups. In particular, they served, and that was their thing. If there's anything I could impress upon you in closing with this message, it's this idea of get community in your life now. In your life now, surround yourself. Get a circle to belong to. Chances are, with people here this weekend, you probably fit into a couple audiences. You probably you belong in one of these audiences. This first audience I'm going to talk to, you're here, and maybe you're just checking this whole thing out. You're just checking God out. This is kind of a new thing to you. Maybe this is your first time. Maybe this is your first time in a long time. We're so glad you're here. My challenge to you is to connect, show up, attend, connect in with this church. If just becoming a regular attender is the next step for you, then do that. Make it a priority that you start to meet people out on the patio. One of the best ways to do this as a church is we launched this new thing last October called Crash Course. And it's a 4-session thing where you can come to and you can learn who God is, who we are as a church, and how God has uniquely gifted you in ministry. We set a goal as a church that we wanted to get 400 people through Crash Course before Easter. When we launched it this past fall, we've been having some super Sundays. We've now got a little over 300 people who have totally completed it. My challenge to you, if you feel like you're more on the outside, you're on the sidelines, sign up for one of these. We have two coming up in March. There's a Sunday and there is a Tuesday night. You can do this. All you have to do is text. If you have a phone, you can pull out your phone. You just need to text the word crash. All lowercase, nothing else, just text the word crash to that number and it'll lead you right to a sign up. I would love for you to take at least session one. Session one's taught by Pastor David and he explains who we are as a church, what we believe, who God is, and how God has made you. Maybe that's the first step, is that you just need to plug in, you just need to connect in with this church. Some of you probably belong to a second group, that there's a second community here. You're not new, you've been here for a while. Maybe you've been here for 2 years or 12 years, but you still haven't really moved past the weekend. That as we talk about greater transformation happens in circles than in rows, you've stayed in rows. That you have been coming here for a while, you would call yourself a regular attender, but you've never moved past that. My challenge to you is that you join something. Just join something. Plug in. Plug into this church. My parents' example, they were in small groups numerous different times. But in reality, the children's ministry where my mom served, that was her church. The usher ministry where my dad served, that was his church. Plug in somewhere with a ministry, whether it's a one-time serving opportunity or it's jumping into something where you start to learn who you are. My word for you, my challenge for you, is this word contribute. Become someone who contributes. Maybe it's financially, that you've been someone who you occasionally give. You occasionally, when the basket is passed, you put something in there. What would it look like to become a contributor? Where your money is where your heart is. Maybe that's the next step for you. But maybe it truly is these ministries and being plugged in. We've got a little action step for you. You can text that same church text number, the word plug in. Nothing's capital, just lowercase, plug in. If you text to that, you're going to get a form that'll come back to you that you can fill out, and it's got boxes that you can check. There's a box on there to serve at one of our Easter services. We would love for you to do that. There's boxes in there, children's ministry. We've got plenty of needs. We've been growing as a church. If you walk out in the lobby, and I'm sure high lobby people, there's probably lots of little toddlers and ankle biters. They're out there. I don't know if I'm allowed to say ankle biters. But we are growing as a church. We have needs. I know for me, in my younger years, in my college age years, I plugged in to a student ministries. And it's where I learned my giftedness. It's where I had community. Whatever that looks like for you, my challenge would be you plug in and contribute. But some of you, you're in this third audience. You're people, you've been here for a while. You're following Jesus. You are a contributor within this church. This is my challenge to you. If you're in this third category, you've been here for a while. Your action step is this word belong. How do you belong more? How do you help us build community? One of those forms you can check if you're looking to get plugged in is information on a small group. But the reality is we don't have a ton of extra capacity right now in small groups. My goal this weekend is not to get all of you into a small group because we don't have the capacity for it. It's really hard to find exactly what you're looking for in a group. We try it all the time and we have some success. But the reality is we actually need more life group leaders. Maybe you can help us by building community. That being willing to step out there and helping to create a place where people can come and get connected. Again, that plug-in number, you can text that. There's a box you check that says lead a small group. You can fill that out. I personally would love to follow up with you this week to be able to find ways that we can use you. But there's another word that's up there. It's start to practice this idea of hosting and radical community. As a staff, we've been talking about this. This idea of radical hospitality. What would it look like if we were a church that would do that? Because where we've been growing in the past 6 months, and if I'm speaking to this audience who's been here and you're plugged in and you're all in what we're doing, we are growing so much with young families. There's been a ton of college age adults who've been finding us and coming here and attending. What would it look like to practice this idea of radical hospitality? What that means is just taking a relationship to the next level, introducing yourself, using the patio as a way to connect. What would it look like between now and Easter to host someone at your home for a dinner? To purposely say, I'm gonna go out to coffee. I'm gonna make a connection. Even more so, across those generational lines. What would it look like? Not in a creepy way. Don't be creepy about it. Don't like, hey, I'm supposed to take you to the coffee and I don't know who you are, but get in my car. Like, no. This is not an excuse to be creepy. Okay? Community sometimes can come off as that. But this is an idea of how do you take, maybe you're thinking right now of someone who you say hi to. You've sort of learned their names, but you've never said, let's go to Coco's. Maybe you never say that. But maybe that's your thing, right? Or this week, let's get coffee. What would that look like? But man, if we were a church that practiced this radical hospitality, that a college-age adult could be loved and cared for by someone who's not related to them, but treats them like family, how much more as a church do we live out what it means to live in community? What it means to not just be a group of people who attend, but a group of people who contribute. That will be my challenge, is that we live out what it looked like in this early church where they belong to each other, where they met regularly, where God added to their numbers because of how much they loved each other. You were built for community. When we live outside of it, we're not connected to that power source. When we try just to go through life going, I got God, that's all I need. You're a stubby saw. You are. I know in my life, I am. And so we need each other. I wanted to close with one of my favorite verses. It's a verse that we use with our life groups. And it's from 1 Thessalonians 2:8. We loved you so much that we were delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well, because you had become so dear to us. Sharing Jesus is amazing. And we are called to do it. We are called to be a light in this world and to share the love of Christ. But when we do it by sharing our lives as well, that's when we truly are the hands and feet of God. That's when we truly become a people who love God and live it out here on earth. That's my prayer for you, is that you learn to know what it truly means to live in community, to become fully alive in Jesus because of that community in your life. Would you bow your head? Let's pray. God, thank you that you have called us, that you loved us even before we loved you back. God, we're so thankful that you love us sinners, that even still in our sin, when you look at us, you see Jesus. God, I pray for this concept of community, that we can get some in our lives, that we can know what it means to belong to a family. God, I pray for the people who feel like they're on the outside looking in. God, would you move? Would you move in a way? God, I pray that you would use the people who feel comfortable and confident where they are. God, that you would use us to help build community. God, I pray that we would move from attenders to contributors. God, I pray that you would work this week in mighty ways for us to practice this radical hospitality. God, I pray that we can come to know you better and we can come to love each other and truly operate as the family you have called us to be. God, I pray that you would work in mighty ways this week. Jesus, in your name we pray. Amen. May you be a people who fight for community, that make time for others and choose love and hospitality. In a world that only focuses on ourselves, may we all be people who strive to tear down walls to build bigger tables, so we can encourage and foster greater community in all. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen, amen. Grace and peace and community to you this week. Amen. Everyone exalts your